When I lived in Israel, I used to go with my children before Shabbos Mevarchim to the hospital to visit with the patients. We would go into the rooms, we would bring challahs, speak with them, wish them a good Shabbos and a refuah shelema. One Erev Shabbos, we entered into one of the rooms, and I was stunned to see Mori Verabi Rav Lichtenstein. I had no idea that he was in the hospital and he wasn't in such good condition. And one of his sons was with him. His son told him that I was there, and Rav Lichtenstein started talking. It would have been difficult for anybody else to understand what he was saying, but I understood. Throughout my life, into his later years, I would regularly visit Rav Lichtenstein and ask him for guidance and advice. There was no major life decision that I made without first talking through with him. And what happened in that room is that he had gone back to the last time I had come for his advice, and he continued the conversation, giving me advice about what I should do. Somebody else came in the room and was told that this other person was there, but Rav Lichtenstein focused on me, and he continued to give me his advice. You know, there's a phenomenon that when people approach towards the end of their lives, often what remains is the core of who they are. We've heard the stories of the Rav Detzal, who in his final years recited Gemaras and Rambams Baal Peh, which is a reflection of his instinctive connection to Torah. And people have told stories like that about Rav Lichtenstein. What I experienced on that day was something different. What I saw was that at his core, he was caring for his Talmud. Having lost so much of his health, what remained was his instinctive kindness and compassion. Every generation has its own form of tshuva, which addresses the challenges and opportunities of that era. This generation is no different. What I'd like to speak about this evening are two elements of tshuva that I think are important in this generation in particular. The first, there's a fascinating contradiction in the halacha between the laws of Shabbos and those of writing a Sefer Torah. In the laws of Shabbos, we learn that amavir dio agabei sikra chayev. That if somebody wrote letters in sikra in this inferior red ink, and then somebody came afterwards on Shabbos and wrote it in the superior black ink, then that's considered a maisik siva, that's considered writing, and one is chayev. But when it comes to Sefer Torah, if someone wrote the Sefer Torah in Sikra, lo lishma, without the right intent, and wrote it in this inferior red ink, and then afterwards another person came and wrote over it in the black ink with lishma, that the halacha is that it would not be sufficient for Sefer Torah. And the question, of course, is why? If it's defined as a maisik siva when it comes to Shabbos, why isn't it a maisik siva when it comes to Sefer Torah? Why is that Sefer Torah not kosher? Rav Soloveitchik Zitzal proposed that the answer to this question distinguishes between Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Sefer Torah. But when it comes to Shabbos, an act of writing is all one needs to generate a chiyuv. But that's not enough to create a kosher Sefer Torah. When it comes to writing a Sefer Torah, there's an additional requirement for individuality. One needs to place one's imprint on the Torah. You need to make the Torah your own in order to create a kosher Sefer Torah. Simply tracing the letters that another has written is insufficient. So Dayoag Abay Sikra, when it comes to a Sefer Torah, does not enable it to become a kosher Sefer Torah. But what's so interesting is that although one needs to make one's own imprint, one's own Ksav Yad to make the Torah one's own, one cannot change even a single aspect of the Torah. One cannot write their own mitzvot or their own halachot in the Torah. It has to be the same Torah that was passed down from generation to generation of centuries ago. One cannot even change a kutzo shel yud. And this is the first area of tshuva. In this generation of individualism and personal autonomy, recalling this lesson is particularly important. In this era, the very idea that the past makes any moral claim on you is deemed passé. And we need to do our own cheshbon ha-nefesh. To what extent have we truly internalized that the Torah is unchangeable? To what extent have we internalized the dictum, the principle, asei ritzono, kirtzoncha, to set God's will as your own? Each of us needs to ask ourselves in our private moments, has this sentiment truly shaped our hearts? That is one challenge we face in this generation. The second, the Mishnah teaches that Zodar Shabazim Ben Azaria, Mikol Chatasechem Lefnei Hashem Tetaru, Avero Shaban Adam Lamakom Yom Kippur Machaper. Avero Shaban Adam Lachavero Ein Yom Kippur Machaper Ad Sheiratza Es Chavero. The Yom Kippur atones when it comes to sins between man and God. Yom Kippur atones when it comes to sins between man and his fellow. Yom Kippur doesn't atone until there is peace and there is harmony between the people. This is a well-known interpretation of this idea, that what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is teaching is that when it comes to averus v'nadum lechavero, if there's not the peace and harmony between the people, then even averus v'nadum lemakom is not atoned. It's not just that you're averus v'nadum lechavero. If the averus v'nadum lechavero, Yom Kippur is not mechaper at all. And the question, of course, is why? These are two separate categories. What difference would it make, the sins between man and God, with the sins between Averus ben Adam lechaver? Rabbi Jacob J. Schachter, Mori Virabi, once showed me that the Binyan Ariel, Rav Shaul Levenstam, the grandson of the Chacham Tzvi, addressed this question. And he explained that the basis is to understand that kapara, atonement itself, is an act of chesed. Actions have consequences. There is no necessity for Hashem to wipe out our sins and protect us from their consequences. He does it as an act of chesed. But the principle the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is teaching is that Hashem will act towards you as you act towards others. If you act towards others with chesed, then he will act towards you with chesed. If averus ben adam lechavero still exists, then he won't act towards you with chesed, and Yom Kippur will not be mechaper. And I think this is the second challenge that applies especially in this generation. This challenge is very different from the challenge of Asei Ritzono, Kirtzoncha. In that case, We're called upon to swim against the moral current of the times. And the question we must ask ourselves is, have we sufficiently resisted the temptations of this generation? But in the case of compassion, we must ask the opposite question. Have we seized the unique opportunity of this generation? After all, one of the special kochot of this generation is its capacity to feel empathy for others. I see this on our campuses every day. I see Sfardim and Ashkenazim. I see students at all different points of their personal, religious, and Jewish journey. I see the incredible success of our Makor program. I see students from different countries building lifelong friendships with each other. Or just this past Friday, I was riding up in the elevator, and somebody was wearing this Project Starks t-shirt and told me that there are over 300 students that volunteer for Project Starks, students who go out every week to the local public schools to teach science to the students. Over 10% of our student population is reaching out in kindness and empathy to the wider community in which we live. This generation is particularly admirable in its capacity to look at those who have so often been excluded, ignored, disregarded, and sometimes even humiliated, and instead offer kindness and a helping hand. In this generation, perhaps more than in any other, we have an incredible opportunity to actualize the Torah's demand that we act with deep compassion towards others, that we extend the same kindness towards our fellow human beings as we hope Hashem extends to us. And we must perform a cheshbon nefesh. Have we truly seized the opportunity of this generation? Have we done our best to be empathetic towards our fellows and act kindly and compassionately towards others as Hashem demands? These, I would suggest, are the twin challenges of this generation. Reaffirming that the Torah is eternal and immutable, and recalling the Torah's fundamental demand that we act with loving and kindness. You know, somebody recently commented to me that Torah is Torah, and one needs to be sensitive to people, to which I agreed and added, Torah is Torah, and one needs to be sensitive to people. And that's also Torah. That's also Torah. In this season of tshuva, these two principles are apt for us to consider. And each should account for how these two principles are reflected in our lives. Now, no two people have the same exact accounting. Some people may feel they need to work harder to internalize the sense of submission and the Torah's immutability. Others may feel they need to work harder to imbibe the Torah's ethic of loving and kindness and apply that as wide as possible. This is a personal accounting. It's a cheshbon ha-nefesh that each of us make before our Kadosh Baruch Hu as we approach the Yom Nuram. And for me, it's these two principles that I learned from Mori Verabi, Rav Lichtenstein. What does it mean to be a giant in Torah? It's to be rooted at your core in all of Shas and Poskim, to be able to cite Baal Peh, the broad breadth of sources in our tradition, to have that instinctive connection to Torah, and at the same time, to possess that instinctive kindness, the sense of profound compassion towards others. Rav Lichtenstein was a giant in Torah, and his most basic instinct was kindness because he was a giant in Torah. Torah is Torah, and one needs to be sensitive to people, and that's also Torah. Yehi Ratzon. May this year be a year of great blessing and great fortune, a year of growth, learning, and innovation. May this year be a year in which we listen to the twin whispers of Torah Emet and Torah Chesed, of truth and compassion, that reverberate throughout the halls of Yeshiva University. Pia patra b'chachma, the Torah tchesed al lishona. I wish each of you a ksiva v'chasima tova, a wonderful new year. May we all be inscribed together in the Book of Life. Shana tova.